This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
The NBA announcing some tweaks to its All-Star Game format. We also got the NBA Cup going on. I know a lot of Blazer fans are interested. I met a Blazer fan today. I was in line at a retail store. Blazer fan first question to me was, hey, how much longer with Chauncey Billups in the Blazers? So a lot of Blazer fans have questions. When I want to know basketball, I go to the expert on basketball. It's Ben Golliver. Washington Post, friend of this show, joining us now. Are you in Vegas for the NBA Cup?
I am, John. I'm trying to get in this parking garage and then get myself situated before the championship game, Thunder versus Bucks tonight. You know, it's not the biggest market teams, right? But you got some good star-level players, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And, you know, there's been some level of excitement out here. But I'll be honest, John, I think the biggest deal all weekend was the rodeo. You got a whole bunch of cowboys and cowboy hats and cowboy boots running around Las Vegas. The NBA was sort of the JV event, if I'm being honest.
JV event. You got a bunch of cowboy hats in Vegas. Ben Golliver there for us. Look, players are getting paid $200,000 per player to get to the championship game. They get $500,000 per player to win this thing. Have we finally found the love language of NBA players?
Oh, there's no doubt. Did you see Trae Young run around on defense in the semifinals? I mean, this is a guy who's been getting killed since high school, John, for not playing defense, right? And here he is making all these extra rotations and trying to block shots, small guy on the court. He was talking a lot of trash, too, to some of the celebrities who were sitting courtside. It was a good atmosphere. There was a lot of people making fun of the idea that, oh, you just got to pay for these guys to try hard. And it is a little bit annoying when these guys are making tens of millions of dollars that's not just sort of the baseline expectation. But you hear it from the coaches. You hear it from the players. I think Giannis said the other day, you know, if you win it, you got enough money for two down payments on houses, you know. So it's like this is real motivation for these guys. And I think it's paid off with high-quality games here in Las Vegas.
Give me an idea. You know, when this thing came out, there was some eye-rolling, and people were wondering, would it work? Would it fit? Are they holding it at the right time of the season? Does it fall in the calendar in the right way? Is it helping make the regular season more interesting and compelling in your mind?
Well, I think it's a pretty good time for them because, obviously, you know, they're running this thing for a month, right? So you can't do it right out of the gate because you're going to have a lot of attention just opening your season. But it's certainly the slowest time of the year. So having something to fill into that slow time, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, they timed it pretty well this weekend because there wasn't any major college football games to compete with. They didn't have any games on Sunday, so they weren't worried about the NFL. And then I think tonight, I mean, the Cup Final is kind of the biggest sporting event on TV. You know, I was kind of kidding about that rodeo, but even the rodeo's out of town in Las Vegas. So if you're looking for something to do, you know, it's like Blue Man Group or the NBA Cup, right? Those are your options. And I think that's a good window for the NBA to be in, and I think that they've learned the lesson, like, on Christmas. If they try to compete with the NFL head-to-head, it doesn't go well. Like, people just don't watch the NBA, right? So that's why they try to kind of carve out this little niche. Now, it is a little weird. It feels like football season. It feels earlier than most fans, you know, really tune into the NBA if they're casual fans. Typically, they wait for the playoffs. But I think they're trying to build a new event, a new legacy. I'm not sure it's been totally successful. Like, there's not a ton of buzz around the event this year. The Lakers aren't here, so you don't have those fans, you know, running around making a lot of noise. But I do think they're really committed to it long term. They've got like an 11-year television contract with Amazon to kind of solidify this thing. And I think that if we fast forward 5 or 10 years, I think it's going to be a much bigger deal than it is now.
I want to ask you about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. Have the Milwaukee Bucks figured something out in this NBA Cup? Are they, in your minds, more of a contender than maybe they were before going on this little run?
100%. And the main reason why is because they look so bad to start, nobody would confuse them with a contender, right? And so I think from that standpoint, it's given them a chance to flip the page, to recommit to their coaching staff, to their group. Damian Lillard's been able to step it up a notch. He had a big shot in the semifinals late that I think he was feeling pretty good about, and kind of changing the narrative of him like being an awkward fit with Giannis, which I think was out there for a while, really all last season, right? So I think it's a fresh start for this group, and Giannis set the tone. He told his teammates, we're going out here to win this thing. He's got one more win to get, but so far I think they're undefeated 6-0 in the Cup tournament, and it's really helped them move on from that 2-8 start where I thought they were going to start blowing it up. You know, I didn't know if they were going to be firing coaches or trading stars or exactly what it was going to be, but to me it felt like, time for major changes, and they definitely kind of pulled themselves back from that precipice.
Pivoting to the bad, the Lakers, they are in a bit of a swoon. LeBron hasn't played well. He's 39. You had a great analysis in the Post talking about LeBron and what to do with him. What should the Lakers be thinking about?
Well, look, it's an easy formula, John. You just got to convince LeBron. That's the hard part. It's got to be fewer games. It's got to be fewer minutes. It's got to be fewer touches. We've never seen a guy his age try to carry as big of a burden as he wants to carry this year. And let's just be honest, if you look at the first month and a half of the season, he's not carrying it very well. You know, he's dunking at the lowest rate of his career. His three-point shot kind of abandoned him. His turnover rate is way up. I mean, they're all obvious signs of fatigue, all obvious signs of aging, right? I mean, he's human. It doesn't feel like it, but he is. So I think that's the central tension for the Lakers right now. How do they reduce their dependence upon LeBron, and how do they convince LeBron to be willing to share things a little bit more, not need to be the alpha and omega every single night? If they could do that, I think they're going to be back on the track for the playoffs, but we'll see.
Blazers fans want to know, how much longer with Chauncey Billups? How much longer with Jody Allen? How much longer in general? Ben Golliver, what's the view of the Blazers from where you're sitting?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of run its course, right? I don't want to, throw anybody under the bus or anything like that, but I think it's just time, right? So I would look at Oklahoma City, I would look at Memphis as the small market type teams that they should be modeling themselves after in terms of trying to hire a coach. You know, you got Taylor Jenkins, you got Mark Daigneault. These are coach of the year type candidates. Guys who I think are respected for their work ethic, for grinding up through the G League, for really earning everything they've gotten. That's the type of leader I think that would make sense for the Portland Trailblazers. You've got to make a better culture. It's clear as day that they don't have the leaders setting the tone on the court, and I think a coach could help with that. A little bit more hard-nosed, a little bit more hands-on, that would do them a lot of wonders.
You're familiar with the people involved. Burt Cold, the vice chair of the team, Jody Allen a little bit. You knew her brother enough to know kind of the dynamic there. I keep thinking they'll make a move on Chauncey here, maybe going into this All-Star break. But then, I've watched him put Kevin Pritchard, make him work the draft after they fired him. So, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because the last time they really made a big move, it was on Nate, right? And they did decide to do that midseason. They brought in Caleb Canales. And remember, he kind of rallied the troops, got through to people, younger voice, more energy. It worked for the short term. And then they kind of figured it out and picked up the pieces after that. It can be tricky. You don't want to do it too early, right? Because, it sends a message to your team that, okay, maybe this season's, completely lost and you got to worry about buy-in and those kinds of questions. I really don't know what they're thinking. I've been confused by all of their moves recently, to be honest. Like, I think they've got a whole bunch of the guys on that team that should be traded. I was not in favor of the DeAndre Ayton trade. I think that's kind of blown up in their face. They've gotten some bad luck with the health and Klingon. It's too bad because it felt like he was maybe the biggest bright spot of this season in my eyes. in terms of how ready he was to compete early. So I'm not sure if it matters all that much exactly when they do it. I just think that they need to be proactive and honest and have a real good self-assessment once they get to the offseason, and just to realize, hey, Chauncey Billups was hired to do one job. All the players he was hired to coach are basically gone. It's an entirely new roster with a new age group, a new direction, and the roster, frankly, needs a lot more changes. They need to go in a, you know, to me, like another direction as well, trading some of these veteran guys away. It's time to, you know, have a new era and go a different direction with the coaching staff. That's how I would do it personally, but if you're trying to get me to read Burt Cold's mind, man, good luck. You know, I'm not getting paid enough to do that.
Amen. Ben Golliver, Washington Post NBA writer with us. The NBA announcing today that the All-Star game will be an All-Star tournament this season. Four teams play three games in one night. It'll be three teams of eight All-Stars each. With the fourth team being the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. Winning team will be the first to get to 40. This will happen, you know, the Warriors are hosting this thing. You tell me, is this going to work? What's the reaction so far?
Well, I'm really interested to hear Adam Silver explain this, because it looks like from the outside, like he's just waving the white flag and giving up. He's surrendering. He's saying, we are out of options. We tried to get these guys to play hard. They just don't care. They're not listening to us. So we're going to come up with a gimmick that's pretty confusing, you know, in terms of how you're going to divvy up the teams, and you're going to bring these Rising Stars players up, who aren't All-Stars, by the way, but they're going to get to play in the All-Star game, and it's a tournament now. You know, how embarrassing would it be for the league if the Rising Stars team, the young guys, won this thing, you know? And then it's like you can really see how the established stars, how little they care about this, right? So I saw Kevin Durant come out pretty strong and say he doesn't like this, and I'm with him. If I was Adam Silver, honestly, my approach, I would have just stuck with the West versus East, the traditional game, and I would have just tried to ramp up the rhetoric year after year after year and try to get these guys to play with some pride. Eventually, you would expect it would kind of get through to them. If they're just getting crushed and people are, you know, taking it out on the players, I feel like, you know, eventually they would kind of rally the troops and say, hey, come on, let's go out there and put on a better show, because I've been at the last five All-Star games or so, and they're just horrible, and they're way worse than they used to be even 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, I saw, you know, the Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade broken nose incident. I was there for that. I mean, that was an intense game, right? And it's just night and day compared to what we saw last year, where one of the teams scored 211 points. I mean, give me a break. So I think if I was Silver, I would have taken a harder line here. I would have said, you know what, I'm just going to make it real clear what I expect publicly, and if you guys don't live up to those expectations, you're going to take the heat. And that would have been my approach.
That the answer is like this NBA Cup, that it's the answer is pay these guys.
Well, they do. That's the thing. They've been paying them for the All-Star game, but I guess just not paying them enough. You know, I guess we're finding out that $500,000 for a cup goes further than $100,000 for an All-Star game. This new format, the winning team, each player is going to get $125,000. So it's a little bit of a bump from what it was before in the past. We'll see if that matters. But, you know, keep in mind, like, the All-Stars are the richest guys in the league typically, right? Like, a lot of these guys are making $40, $50, $60 million. So $125,000 for them might not be enough to convince them to really crank it up. You know, to me, it's just more of a matter of pride. And it's an idea of like, hey, the All-Star game has been around since the 1950s. They never needed to do a four-team tournament before, right? So what's different now? What's changed? And obviously the players are making a lot more money, and I think they need to just like kind of look within and say, hey, we can do better than this. It's one night a year. The fans love it. It's a game that gets huge ratings. People fly in from all over the world to watch it. It's not so hard to get down in a defensive stance and, you know, try not to just shoot three-pointers for 48 minutes, you know?
Ben Golliver, you're going to a game tonight. How is Vegas treating you otherwise? I mean, you see in cowboy hats and rodeo, but is you know, what's the feel in Vegas?
Well, you know, I had the Atlanta Falcons at my hotel, so that was pretty interesting. I got to see how the other side lives, John. You know, I was looking out the elevator when it would open up, and if it was a floor that was like only the Atlanta Falcons on it, they had these giant like vending machines, but they were free. You get any drink you wanted, you know, like the very fanciest electrolyte, energy drink type things. They had all the protein drinks. I'm thinking, man, I'm just up on this 11th floor. I don't have any of the perks up on my floor. But, you know, that's been a little bit of the color. Otherwise, it's just been the rodeo, like I said. I mean, I guess it's a national tournament. Everybody comes in for it. So that was, you know, a really big deal this weekend. But I'm just thankful it's not 120 like it is during Summer League, man. It's so much nicer to be out here where it's livable. You can go outside for a walk. You can get a little hike in with the Red Rocks. And all this, you know, a week before Christmas. It's a pretty good life.
Ben Golliver, Washington Post. Thank you. Good luck with the game, and I'll continue to follow you. Thanks, Ben.
All right, John. Take care.
There he goes. Ben Golliver. Terrific job. Real quick, Stephen, his thoughts on the Blazers. It's run its course. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. You know, you can think what you want about the roster and the coaching staff and the ownership, but it's been enough. Like, we've seen enough of this, the same people in charge of everything, so it has. It's run its course. They need to just change something up because it's definitely not working. It hasn't worked for, you know, 5+ years.
I met this great listener today. I'm in line at a retail store, and this guy's in front of me, and he's got, you know, a baby that's just several weeks old. He and his wife have the baby. The wife is, you know, taking care of the baby, and he's pushing the stroller, and he's a rancher. And shout out to McDonald's Farms, who, you know, they're into steer and ranching, and he want to know about the Blazers. It's his diversion. I mean, the guy's got a newborn baby. He's got, you know, he's up all night. We all know that. You know, he's worried about, you know, 40 head of cattle here, 40 head of cattle there. You know, he's got a job. You know, you're supposed to be his diversion. And part of the problem is that the Blazers, for a while now, have felt more like real life. They've felt like death and taxes and, you know, all that other stuff. Your boss and bad coworkers and teammates, you know, they felt like work. And it shouldn't be that way. And so, you know, Burt Cole, Jody Allen, I don't think that you could give them a map, and I think they'd never find the way out. So it's just, I love how Ben Golliver put it. It's just run its course. I think it's a great way to put it. All right, coming up, our big splash. Stick around.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.